Today I'm speaking on God's priorities. And what I have here in this message today is a little paper that I jotted down in my study at the house about 6 weeks ago. I was visited by some angels from heaven with some I feel, very important truths, things that were very important to God. And any time something is important enough to God to bring it by special delivery, though it's been in the Word all of the time, but so often we allow the Word to be covered up, or it's cloudy to us, and they have brought these truths from God's own heart, God's priorities. There's seven of them here. I'm not going to enlarge on all seven, but we will from time to time touch on these. But I would like for you to get down, if you have a pencil and paper, some of these priorities. I'd like for you to begin to speak about them to other people. You're wondering, what can I talk to people about? Talk to them about those things that are important to God. A lot of different things that may look like just happenings of the day, incidents, events, but there's some way that you can tie them to these priorities. Speak about them. Teach them. You that have classes with the children, with adults, tie them in, weave them in as foundational truths. These things are so important to God. Search them out in the Word. Look at the Word. Find out what He has to say about these priorities. Talk about them. Read about them wherever you can. Pray about them. Talk to God about them. Let them literally grip you. Soak them up in your innermost being. They're truths that I believe will not only change your life, but they will help you to produce what God wants you to produce in this day. Because this is a very, very special day. Today we're going to deal with one of these priorities above the others, because I would like to make reference to them, but we will enlarge on the others at another time. The first of these priorities is the power of the blood of Jesus. The message that God gave His Son to us. It actually is an expression of the love of God in bringing His Son. Message in blood. And this has become a side issue with a lot of people, a lot of religions. Some have even made the statement that the blood is of no more effect when spilled during the crucifixion than when it was flowing through His blood in the daily life. But when it was shed, it became available for everyone. That blood is so important that not one drop was wasted. It's the only blood that has ever been referred to as incorruptible. Not one drop lay on the ground and rotted. This was God's plan. That blood, even now, somehow you could move into the courts of heaven, as Paul had an opportunity to, and he said, there it is. There is the blood. There it is. And forever through eternity, the blood has a place. Praise God. We'll go into that at another time. Then, another great priority is that God wants fellowship with you. God wants people, not only believers, God wants those who are far, far from Him. And He said, if you'll just call to Me from wherever you are, from the very farthest point in all creation, I'll remove all the distance between you and Me. I want you to come so bad. If you're calling to Me from thence, I will hear. And I will forgive, He said. God wants you. He's not looking for reasons to disown you, but He's looking for reasons to help you and to bring you and to draw you. He is saying, come, let's talk it over. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. These are the words that God Himself is giving to you. He wants you to come. Then a third priority is the truth that Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive today, and His life is being witnessed around the world. And it's the witness of His life that draws people to God. When Jesus went away, He said, you will be witnesses unto Me. He didn't say, you will learn how to have a little formula for presenting a few ideas. Oh, no. He said, you will be witnesses that I'm alive. Praise God. So all through the book of Acts, you read, wherever that word they gave witness, you have to see they gave witness to the power of the resurrection, that Jesus was alive. And those people that thought they had put Him to death, they looked and they saw those who belonged to Jesus. And they saw that Jesus was living in them. And instead of one Jesus to contend with, they had a whole lot of Jesus to contend with. Because all of those that served Him were reflecting the power and the life of Jesus. So the life of Jesus, God said, is important today, and people need to know that He's alive. And the way they know that He's alive is seeing Him living inside of you. You reflect that life. This is a top priority. Then another great priority is the promise of the Holy Spirit. There are many, many people today that would rule this out. There are some that say, well, if this was truly an angel that gave this to you, he wouldn't be talking about the Holy Spirit, because that's a controversial subject. He would stay on even ground. He didn't ask whether it's controversial or not. He's stating a fact. He said this is high priority with God today. The power of the Holy Spirit. He wants men and women to know that there's more power available to them than what they can generate within themselves. Praise God. The fifth of these priorities that He gave me was that the world needs to hear, the world must hear the good news. Thanks, Mike, for talking about that good news. The world needs to hear the good news. You know what good news is. Good news is a little different, as our brother said. The good news is that you can come now. God will accept you. That His wrath is turned away. That somebody else already took your place in judgment. Ah, what good news. Because the thing, the fear that troubles people all their lifetime is that fear of meeting God. You read in Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 9 to 14. He tells you that the fact that you can come, that you've had a substitute in the judgment of God, and that He came to deliver those who all of their lifetime were subject to fear. Then the sixth priority is the truth and the fact that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ and what He's done are covered and shall not come into condemnation, because they have passed from death into life, and they're covered. Talk about a message for today. God wants people to enter into the rest that comes from knowing that Jesus has paid it all. All the him I owe. Sin had left
a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. That's a top priority to God today. The message that you are covered. The seventh priority is that Jesus is coming again to take his people to a place that he has prepared. I had someone question me on that and say, now, Pastor, really, would God touch on something that would upset some people who don't believe he's coming again? He's not taking his cue from what people, their misunderstandings. He's saying, this is the way it is. It's top priority with God. He's preparing a people, hallelujah, for that great day. And we're going to spend a little time this morning on that one, the fact that Jesus has prepared a place for those that love him. Now, if you would, just before I move into that, I want to answer some questions that I feel were honest questions about ill-informed quotes that I presumably, supposedly made. Quotes that have been passed about by some that failed to listen to the messages on the tape, but rather put together a few thoughts that they may have heard. One of them is that I have stated that I know the day that Jesus is coming, and it's about 2 months from now. One of the pastors talked to two of his young people about this, and they came out to see me, scared to death that this was going to take place in 2 months. I told them, you don't have to wait to 2 months to start getting frightened. He could come even today. But they said, our pastor said that this was wrong. It wasn't from God because you had set a date. I told them, I haven't set a date at all. And if you've heard anything about dates, you didn't get it here, or you didn't get it from me. Because in the message that was brought to me by Gabriel himself is that the angels don't even know the day nor the hour. The only statement that they made to me regarding the return of Christ was this, that there is more excitement and more activity in the courts of heaven today than there has been at any time since Jesus came the first time. Well, that made me kind of happy, you know, but it didn't stay the date. Another question that was asked by the same party was, if we don't speak in tongues, we won't go to heaven. And that Pastor Buck says this, and as a result, it has ruled out all of the many of the non-charismatic churches who know Christ but have never entered into this relationship. You didn't hear Pastor Buck say that. It's not on any tapes that I said that, but it's going to be on one today that I didn't say it. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're putting your faith in the blood of Jesus, what he has done for you, you're ready. Praise God. The Holy Spirit in that fullness gives us help in conquering and facing the struggles and the battles of life. But it does not increase our chances of going to heaven. Jesus did everything there could possibly be done already. He has accepted, he has made it possible for God to accept us. Praise the name of the Lord. Then I put in the title of this message, where are we on God's calendar? And there are many, many indications that we are moving close to the end of time as we know it. If man's stay on earth from time of Adam and Eve could be placed into a clock with 12 hours. I believe that we are right at the end of the 11th hour. Jesus is coming. Praise God. He did tell us we could know the times and the seasons. And we can see the seasons because a season has indications when that season is coming. When spring comes, the grass starts turning green and the little roots start putting up their shoots. When fall comes, and winter comes, you see everything turns brown, the snow comes. There's evidence. You can tell seasons when they come. And Jesus said, you can tell the season when he's coming. Something is happening. Praise God forever. How much time is left, we don't know. But we do know this, that God has permitted each of us to live in the greatest days of all history. Ooh, hallelujah. Days when congregations such as you people who are here in various parts of the world are responding to God and what He's doing. And this great congregation here is just an example of what's happening all over in cities and communities clear across America and around the world. There are many churches that haven't yet caught the vision, but as Jesus tarries, they're going to, because people from all faiths, from all walks of life, from all nationalities are hearing the call and they're waking up. Praise God! Somebody has asked me, well, what about LDS people? There's so many of them in this area. God doesn't know that people are LDS. He doesn't know they're Pentecostal. He doesn't know they're Catholic. You say, well, he's supposed to know everything. Well, all their labels are just turned out sideways so men can see them. He's looking at the top. And all he sees is that there's somebody that's hungry there. There's somebody that's hungry over here. Somebody that needs me over here. And he's coming, running to the cry of men's hearts. This move that God has brought to the world today is crossing every denominational line. Praise God. You can't keep God out and you can't hold him in. There are people that have made some little boxes and they said, now God, you've got to fit right in here. He just can't stay in there. He'll stay there, but he always flows over. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. And the barriers are coming down. Hallelujah. God has let us live in the greatest days of all history. Now, do you have your Bibles handy? Let me give you just a few thoughts here of what the Bible says. After all, the most important thing that we can possibly stand on is the Word of God. And God will never violate His character, and He will not violate His Word. John 14, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said he was coming again. Luke 21, verses 25 to 28, he said there would be certain things that would be happening in this old world, indications of great fear, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after these things that are coming on the earth. And there's great fear around the world today. But Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, we've seen a beginning and more, haven't we? Lift up your eyes and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus said he would come back. And who wants to argue with him? He said he would come back. Now, Acts 1, 10 and 11. There were some angelic beings visited the earth when Jesus was here. One of the criticisms that has been raised against me is that these can't be angels because angels can't talk. But
Look at Acts 1, 10, and 11, and all the other places in the Bible. They could talk. All right. And as Jesus went up into heaven, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus that is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Did you notice the word, this same Jesus? He's coming. He's coming. Well, I don't know how. Don't try and rule him out because we can't figure out how he's going to do it. If you could figure God out, he wouldn't be God. He has a lot of secrets that he hasn't told us anything about. But he is coming. Notice how the disciples felt. All of those early disciples. Paul, what do you think about the second coming of the Lord? We read over in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 18. And Paul tells us that if you believe that Jesus died, and if you believe he rose again, you have to believe also that he's coming again. Hallelujah. Praise God, is what he tells us. Paul believed that Jesus was coming. We find it many, many places in Paul's writings. And he said, concerning this, it's a part of the good news. It's part of the good news that God has taken care of things. See, you don't have to worry as you walk with the Lord. You don't have to be concerned and be in a constant frenzy, wondering whether you're going to be ready when Jesus comes. If you're serving Jesus, you've linked arms with him. There may be a lot of ups and downs in your path, but you're in his family. You don't have to fret and worry. There are a lot of people that feel that if people know how you really feel here, it's going to make some people get a little bit careless. God doesn't want you to change what he said because of some fears that you have. When the real thing is, people are finding new victories when they can relax and stop putting the energy into that struggle that they have and start letting the river flow through their life. Hallelujah. That flow through of life will take care of those things that are troubling you. And in that last verse of that fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians, he said, when you talk about the coming of Jesus, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. So you've got something to talk about to people. When you see them looking down, say, hey, cheer up, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Comfort one another with these words. Peter or James talked about it. In James, the fifth chapter, verse 7 and 8, and he said that concerning the coming of the Lord, he said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You may have some, he may not have come just when you thought he was going to, but be patient because he is coming. He has some things that he's looking to accomplish, but be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Then Peter talked about it, and He spoke of the time when Jesus would be revealed from heaven. And in this verse, 1 Peter 1:13, he said that the things that we may look at our lives and say, there's so much still the Lord needs to do. There's so much he needs to do. I love him with all my heart. I know he saved me. But there still seems to be a lot that God has to do. And so Peter says, you can quit worrying now and rest in the fact that God is bringing a special load of grace with him when he comes. So he said, instead of looking at that the weaknesses, the hurts, the hard times around you, start looking for the grace that shall be brought to you at the appearing of Jesus Christ when he's revealed from heaven. Hallelujah. I didn't hear very many shouts at that time, but some of you people that have had a rough time should have shouted hallelujah at the top of your lungs. Can you do it now? Amen. Praise God. To know that he's compensating for us. Not that we're sufficient, you see, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in Christ. Christ in us is our hope of glory. You believe that? Praise God. He is coming. John spoke of it in 1 John 3:2. And he said, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, something's going to happen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jude spoke of it over in Jude, the 24th verse, where he said, now unto him, he was encouraging these people, quit worrying about falling. God is big enough to call you and to help you and to deliver you of your sins. He's also big enough to keep you. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his Father. Jude believed it. Hallelujah. And all of the markers of history tell us that he is coming. The social markers, the physical signs upon this earth, the spiritual moves that we're seeing. There's no question about it. Something is happening today, spiritually in the world, and you're a part of it. You're a part of it. You're a part of it, Roscoe. Praise God. You folk that are here today, 4 weeks ago was their day. Today is your day. In fact, today is all of our day. It's a day that God has given to us for some special touch anointing, for God never has one day planned, but what he wants to accomplish something within our lives. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Praise God. The message that Jesus is coming is so important. When this great angel gave me these priorities, he spoke to me about these priorities as being a part of God's plan before he even made the earth, and that they were all embodied contained in God's plan that he gave to Moses in Leviticus 23 of the feasts that were to be given. Each of them were included there. The Feast of Pentecost was one of them. And to go into these, each one is just a beautiful experience, a beautiful study. And we will be taking these one of these days. But that these were all included there. He said, you can read them. Then he made reference to me that though all of these truths are of top priority, that in sequence they happened historically, that Christ was prepared for the cross, the Passover. He died, gave his life. He restored fellowship with man at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then there came the Feast of the First Fruits, which spoke of the resurrection, Jesus' life. And then there was the Feast of Pentecost that came 50 days after. And that's exactly what happened 50 days after the resurrection. Jesus came back to this earth, or poured out of his Spirit upon the earth on the day of Pentecost. Then he said to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But he said, before you go, I want you to partake of this part of God's great plan, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when you go out to do his work, you'll have his power to do it in. But you'll have his nature to show to the world. And so the disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but tarry first until you be filled with his Spirit. Hallelujah. So the next feast was the Feast of Trumpets, trumpeting the good news throughout the world. Then came the Feast of Atonement. And this is the one that he said in sequence is the message that though all of the other priorities are there, and they're all included, this is the message that will prepare the hearts of men and women for the next one that's about to happen. And that is the Feast of Tabernacles, which refers to
now, at this time, he's dwelling among us in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the word tabernacle means a house. And that there was a little something to do with their Feast of Tabernacles where the children of Israel built little booths so they would, as a type of some places, only on a very miniature, small scale of what there is in heaven. But he said, at the Feast of Tabernacles, you are depicting a time when you're gathered home to be with him. And he has gone to prepare that place for us. Hallelujah. And he's coming back to receive us. So the great message today is that message of atonement. And that message of atonement actually means the message of covering. That's what it is. Atonement means to cover. Praise God forever. Praise God. It's God's plan. And the angel gave me that one diagram that I gave to you of how God could not see through the covering that was over man when he put his faith in the blood. There was a covering that was there. Oh, what a beautiful message. God wants you people that are here this morning, and I say it from my heart, I feel challenged by God to tell you, get this message into your heart. Get it into your mind. Talk about it to people wherever you are. Let them know. Let them know what he's done. And this message of atonement has a three-way message, really. It has a message to those who are living for God. It has a message for people who are careless, but it also has a message for the unbeliever to let them know the awesomeness of God. I was praying last night in my office, asking God to anoint these words that I bring to you. And I wanted to this atonement, the message of atonement, that is for this day, and there's such a need, such a hunger for it. Calls are coming from all over the country wanting me to come and share. They're wanting tapes. They're wanting messages. They've gone out around the world because people are responding. The Spirit is accompanying those messages and saying, this is it. There's a message of atonement. I was asking God, oh God, help me to make this message clear. I felt that I needed something more. I feel such a responsibility as I stand here because, and you have a responsibility. What is taking place here is something that is significant in the world today. And it's not because of anything that we have done. God has chosen and had it written into his plan also before the world ever started. You are a special people. I feel that God has chosen this place as a touchdown place in channeling words that he wants written in the hearts of men. He wants them to be challenged. And I hear the challenges of congregations around the country as they hear these messages. And in my own heart, there's a cry, oh God, may this congregation be challenged to write and allow the Spirit to write the same message on their hearts, that they can share it with everybody they see, that they can call their neighbors in and say, listen, here's what God, how God cares for you. This is what he wants you to hear. This is what he wants you to know. This is a message, and the Spirit of God is going to accompany it to your friends, to your loved ones, to your neighbors. It's a beautiful message. I'd like to just briefly set this picture before you now. That mankind, if you have your paper and pencil there, I want you to be sure and get this again, even though you may have had it before. At the bottom of your page, you can draw or write the word man. Three things that stand between man and God. Three reasons why he cannot be accepted. One is sin. You write this down. The next one is fault. The next one is failure. And even though every sin may be taken care of, there's still fault. And though you may be faultless or feel that you are, there's still times when we failed. And there is no way There's the eye of God. And all things at this point without a covering are open to the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. We cannot stand. God cannot stand sin, even with the least degree of allowance. God cannot even stand fault. And the priest, one of the things I have done in since the Lord made this real to me in looking at the Scripture, that even the priest had to be without blemish in order to function as a priest. The sacrifice had to be without blemish to be used, for God is a God of perfection. But I still didn't see the whole picture and the importance of it until early this morning. God, sensing this need in my heart and this hunger, awakened me early in the morning. And God, let me live and see what it really was. And God allowed me to see the Old Testament priest as he went in with the sacrifices to offer for the children of Israel so that they could be covered from one year to the next. And I have been stating, and it was incomplete information, that priest was ready to go in because he had done all the right things before he went in. He had attained complete and perfect obedience. He was following God's instructions to the letter, and he went in. And I felt that was sufficient, that he could go. And I've told people this. Well, he could go up to a certain point. But God had, because even the one person in this world that could have been spoken of as totally righteous, as totally ready, as totally prepared, would have been that high priest. But God said, and this is his message that he gives to all men everywhere, that there is no way in the world that an individual outside of Jesus can ever approach God. If even the highest, the one that was chosen and accepted by God and readied by God, if he couldn't come in and stand before God, God wants us to know there's no other way. And there are some people that say, well, I'll trust my good works. I'm as good as the next person. I'll get by somehow. Well, we've lived awful good lives. We've been high moral people. We haven't done this and this and this. And if anybody gets in, we'll get in. I have news for you today. You won't get in if you're the most perfect person in the world. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. There is no flesh that can stand before God. So when the priest went in, God allowed me to see him coming. And an animal, a calf, had to be slain just for this priest. And the blood of this calf had to be taken and had to be applied to him and put on all of the articles there in the room where he went. But this priest could not begin his work in the holy place until something else happened. And I watched. God allowed me to see it almost like a living panorama. I watched. And Aaron, the high priest at that time, was told to take a handful of incense. It was an incense that was a type of Jesus. It had been beaten. It had felt the scourge of suffering and pounding. And there it was, a handful of incense that represented Jesus. And some live coals had to be taken off of the fire, which were a type of judgment. And the incense, as Aaron took them into the holiest place where God was, he had to quickly put that handful of incense on this fire, these live coals, and a cloud ascended from the incense and it went over the top, and Aaron became engulfed in a cloud. A sweet-smelling incense that reached up and pleased God himself. And God then, looking down, saw Aaron through the cloud which represented Jesus Christ and his suffering. Hallelujah.
Then Aaron could take, and he could place the blood over the mercy seat and the other places in that holy place for himself and for the people. Then, knowing that he was covered, knowing that the cloud was covered and God looked at him through the cloud, Aaron could then bring the people to that place where they were covered. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God said, you've got to do this or you're going to die, Aaron. This must you do or you'll die. It says it in the same portion of Scripture. Then he spoke to me about Jesus. He said, because Aaron could only die for himself, God had provided a way whereby he could be accepted. But he said, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, went in as the high priest with no atonement for himself. No covering. He went in before God, the sin bearer, and the stroke of God's judgment and God's wrath penetrated him. And he became the incense, the real incense then, as he took the stroke of God's wrath. And that incense ascended up and it covered all who had put their faith and their trust in him. Everything in that tabernacle was a type of Jesus. But the most beautiful thing of all, as God allowed me to see it last night, was Jesus. Jesus becoming our covering through offering a sweet-smelling incense unto the Master, unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that those who come now to him are covered. Gabriel told me, if you'd like to read this, you can read it in Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And concerning Aaron, in verse 6, in verse 11 and 12, then he said, you can see what happened to the people after Aaron offered the sacrifice. He said that the lamb was taken in, the goat, which is also a type of Jesus. One of them, blood was placed over the top of the mercy seat that contained all of the sins of the children of Israel. And they were covered. Then, after they were covered, it took another animal. It took two of them to represent what Jesus did. You can read it in that chapter. In verse 16, especially, it speaks about the sacrifice. And that as the hands of Aaron were placed upon this goat, it was called the scapegoat, and he pronounced over this goat all of the categories of sin that Israel had entered into. He said, now that sin is covered, it can be taken away. God wants you to know that when he covers your sin, he's not going to leave a rotting, moldering pile of sin there, stinking, just covered. He said, I cover it first so I can accept you. And then I have a plan of taking it all away. And all of the sin was placed upon this sin, the scapegoat, and he was led out into the wilderness, into a place where he could never be found. And that's what happened to your sin. It's not only covered, but it's removed. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from you. And over the top is the covering of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so when God looks down at you, all of those things that happen in the normal course of this life are hidden to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're accepted in him. But the awesome thing, as I said, the person, the most perfect,
There may be some here today who feel they can get by somehow on their own merits. You can't get by. You can't get by. If a person that perfect couldn't get by, think of the awful stench that comes up to the nostrils of God when He sees men and women in their disobedience and their rebellion today. Think of it. You'll never stand before Him. The only way is to come to Jesus, who asks nothing else, nothing other than that you put your faith in what He has done for you. Shall we bow our hearts before Him now? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We're going to stand in God's presence. Oh, God, I thank You for what You have done. Praise God. Praise God. While you're thinking about this message of God's covering, He lets us know that in the sequence of these special days that were given to Israel, that this is the last one before the trumpets for the coming of the Lord. This is the message that will ready people and prepare them and draw them together and let them enter into the rest that God has provided. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to have the organ play softly, and I would like to have every person who wants to come and stand before God and offer themselves to Him and not try and make it on their own. There may be some who have known the Lord at one time or another. There may be some who didn't realize the importance of But Jesus is here today to accept you, and He has a great covering that He wants to put over your life so that you need not fear day after day of facing the wrath of God and wondering whether you're going to make it, but you can walk with a firm step and a real faith, knowing that you're ready because Jesus paid it all. And He diverted the stroke of God's wrath to Himself from you. Would you come right now as the organ plays? Those who need Him, from up in the balcony, from down here on the first level, don't hold back. If there is a question in your mind, don't hold back. But come running to Jesus. Accept the great covering that He's made for you. I'd like to have some believers who have been troubled by fear. And there may have been fear at different times concerning your position with the Lord. But today, you're going to accept what He has done, His covering. Every believer that has been troubled by fear, I want you to come and stand here with others that are coming right now. Move right out. We've had people standing, so it's easy to get out of the seats. I have given you this morning something from God's heart. Father, I don't know what more I could say. But God, I ask that the Holy Spirit will do what I could not do. God, draw men and women. Oh, God, help them to run right now to that place of refuge. For the day is coming. The day is coming when we're going to be on the other side. But this today, we still stand on this side of judgment. Oh, God, draw men and women, speak to them. Praise God. How about some believers coming right now that are thankful for what the Lord has done? Standing here for just a few moments. Your heart should be filled with such gratitude and joy and love because there are people who are standing here, new members of God's family. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's some that may not have the courage to come. But Jesus knows you. He knows exactly where you're sitting. And right now, I'm going to ask every person in the building to lift their hearts in thanks to God for what He has done, for the unfolding of that beautiful plan. And I want you to thank Him with them. And as you call the name Jesus, He's going to listen. He's been waiting for you to call, and something special is going to happen to you today. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the reality there is. We thank you, God, that you've taken care of this, that you've paid it all. Praise God forever. You care so much for your people. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.